Welcome to HN Pod, the daily show where we dive into the top stories, trends, and discussions from Hawker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is episode 474, and we are covering the top stories from yesterday, July 31st, 2026. We have a really great lineup today. We are looking at the surprisingly complex world of elevator algorithms, a deep dive into how AI providers are quietly locking us into their ecosystems, a massive double feature on the new DeepSeek V4 Flash model, and finally, a look at YC's new multiplayer agent harness called QM.
Let us kick things off with a post that blew up on the site yesterday, pulling in over 1,100 points. It is an interactive article by an author named John, simply titled Elevators. If you've ever stood in a lobby mashing the up button and wondering why the car is taking forever, this piece is for you.
It is such a classic Hacker News story. It takes something completely mundane and reveals the incredible engineering behind it. The author walks us through the evolution of elevator algorithms, starting with the most basic one from 1961 called SCAN. That's where the elevator just goes from the lobby all the way to the top floor, picking up and dropping off people along the way, and then comes all the way back down.
Right, which is horribly inefficient if someone just wants to go to the third floor. So then we got the look algorithm, which is what most of us are used to. The car only goes as high as the highest requested floor before reversing direction. But where it gets really interesting is when you introduce multiple cars. How do they coordinate?
Exactly. The article breaks down Otis's RSR algorithm, which stands for Relative System Response. Instead of just sending the closest car, RSR scores every elevator based on a bunch of factors. It penalizes cars if they are going to bunch up with another car heading the same way, it rewards cars that are sitting idle nearby, and crucially, it re-optimizes every 5 seconds. So if your assigned elevator gets delayed by someone holding the door, the system can instantly reroute a different car to you.
And this leads to the most counterintuitive part of the whole piece. You know those fancy modern elevators where you type your floor into a kiosk in the lobby and there are no buttons inside the car? That's called destination dispatch. You would think that giving the computer perfect information about exactly where everyone is going would make the wait time shorter. But the author's simulations show that for most normal buildings, destination dispatch actually results in longer wait times for the 90 percentile cases.
Yeah, and the reason why is fascinating. Because destination dispatch assigns you to a specific car at the kiosk, it locks the system in. It loses that ability to re-optimize every 5 seconds. If the state of the building changes 30 seconds after you tap the screen, the system cannot adapt because you're already standing in front of door B waiting for your specific car.
The comments on this one were gold. A user named Peter Downs pointed out that the original SCAN elevator algorithm is actually the exact same algorithm used for disk scheduling in spinning hard drives. A hard drive is basically just a really long elevator wrapped around a spindle.
I loved that connection. There was also a great debate about real-world use cases. Someone mentioned staying in an Airbnb in a 60-story residential tower where the elevators were completely saturated. Because the cars were full, they would stop at every floor, but nobody could get in, creating a massive backlog. It highlighted that optimizing for wait time, which is what these algorithms do, might not always be the right metric. Sometimes you need to optimize for total travel time, but human psychology makes us hate waiting in the lobby more than we hate stopping on extra floors while inside the car.
It is a perfect blend of computer science and human psychology. Speaking of systems that are changing under the hood, let us move to our second story. It's a blog post from Arundel Engineering titled, "The Session You Cannot Take With You." This one really struck a nerve, getting over 700 points.
This piece is a deep dive into a subtle but massive shift in how AI inference APIs work. The original promise of using an API was simple. You send a prompt, you get a response, and you own that transcript. If you wanted to take that exact conversation history and feed it into a different model from a different company, you could. It was a portable session.
But as the author points out, that's no longer the case. Providers are increasingly returning what the author calls provider-sealed state. We're talking about reasoning tokens that are billed to you but returned as opaque, encrypted blobs. We're seeing web searches where the model gets source material that the client never sees. And we're seeing compacted context that only the original provider can decrypt.
Right, and the marketing around this is very clever. They call it encrypted content, which sounds like a privacy feature for the user, but it is actually encrypted for the provider. The provider holds the keys. You cannot read it, which means you cannot export your session and take it to an open weights model or a competitor. Your transcript becomes just a pointer to a database you don't control. OpenAI and Gemini are now storing responses by default unless you explicitly opt out.
The comments were very much in agreement that this is a boiling frog situation. We're slowly getting locked into these ecosystems. But some users pointed out the lab's justifications. A big one is preventing prompt injection. If attackers can see the exact reasoning traces, they can craft injections that mimic the model's internal monologue.
Another reason brought up in the comments is distillation. The frontier labs are spending millions on reinforcement learning to generate these high-quality reasoning traces. If they just hand them over in plain text, competitors can easily use them to train cheaper, smaller models.
Which makes sense from a business perspective, but it is terrible for audibility. One commenter noted that seeing the raw reasoning used to be the only way to figure out why a model refused a benign prompt. Without it, you are just left guessing why your request got blocked by the safety filters. It really changes the relationship between the developer and the AI provider.
That perfectly transitions us into our next two stories, which dominated the front page yesterday. DeepSeek just dropped a massive update with their V4 Flash 0731 model. We are going to combine the official API update post and the artificial analysis breakdown, which together pulled in over 1,200 points.
DeepSeek has been on an absolute tear, and V4 Flash is blowing people's minds. Let us talk about the price first, because it is almost unbelievable. According to the Artificial Analysis Index, it costs 14 cents per million input tokens and 28 cents per million output tokens. And if you hit the context cache, the price drops by 98% to just 0.3 cents per million tokens.
It is practically free. And despite being that cheap, it's scoring number 3 overall on the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index, beating out a ton of much more expensive proprietary models. The update notes mention it natively supports the Responses API and is heavily optimized for coding agent tasks.
The Hacker News thread was full of developers saying this is now their daily driver. One user mentioned they use Flash for 90% of their tasks now because it is so fast and cheap that they don't even have to think about token anxiety. They just feed it massive logs, entire dependency trees, and performance dumps without worrying about the bill.
Yeah, and because it's an open weights model, you don't have to deal with the annoying guardrails you get from some of the big corporate APIs. A commenter mentioned they use it for reverse engineering binaries, which often triggers safety refusals on other platforms, but DeepSeek V4 just happily does the work.
Another huge point from the comments is the local hosting aspect. Someone pointed out that you can run this model at home using an Unsloth lossless Q8 quantization, which comes in at about 162 gigabytes. You can run that on dual DGX Sparks. So for about $8,000 or $9,000 in hardware, you can have frontier-level intelligence running completely locally, totally private, at around 60 tokens per second.
That is a game changer for startups and home lab enthusiasts. And it's a great segue into our final story of the day. YC Software just open sourced a project called QM, which is a multiplayer agent harness for work. It got over 500 points and sparked a really interesting discussion about how we actually interact with AI in a team setting.
Most AI agents right now are built as single player personal assistants. You have your chat window and it helps you. But QM is designed for startups, where you need a mix of private workspaces and shared collaboration. It integrates directly into Slack and the web. So everyone gets their own isolated sandbox with their own files and permissions, but you can also tag the agent in a shared Slack channel to work on a project together.
What is really cool is that QM is completely model agnostic. The headless core can be driven by Pi, OpenCode, Codex, or Claude Code. You just swap out the harness. It uses a Postgres database for memory and session history, and it gives the agent a durable sandbox to execute commands. So if the agent installs a tool, it stays installed for future tasks. The comments on this were fantastic, especially regarding a specific feature buried in the repository. A user named Daniel R. May found a default skill included in QM called the anti-slop front-end skill. Oh, this was hilarious.
It really was. The prompt instructions for the skill explicitly ban the agent from generating interfaces that look like typical AI templates. It strictly forbids the use of specific hex codes, like the off-white F5 F1EA background that every AI seems to love for premium consumer brands.
And it completely bans the use of the M-dash. The prompt literally says the M-dash is the LLM's signature stylistic touch and the number one visual tell in production tests. There is no allowance for it whatsoever.
The commenters were debating whether the M-dash is truly dead now. One person joked that anything slightly annoying for a human to type but trivial for an AI to generate is probably going to be seen as AI slop from now on.
But on a serious note, it highlights a real problem. As these agents generate more and more of our code and copy, we need ways to ensure it does not all homogenize into this bland, recognizable AI style.
It also speaks to the broader trend we are seeing. We are moving past the phase of just getting an AI to write a function for us. We are now building infrastructure to manage teams of human and AI agents working together asynchronously. As one commenter working on a similar project noted, the hardest problem in multiplayer AI is not the agent loop itself, it is the scoping. Figuring out who has access to what context and how an agent knows what happened in a separate Slack thread is the real challenge. QM seems like a very sane approach to solving that for small companies.
It really does. It is amazing to see how fast the tooling is evolving, especially when you pair something like QM with a model as fast and cheap as DeepSeek V4 Flash. The barrier to entry for building incredibly complex autonomous systems just keeps dropping.
Absolutely. Well, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for tuning in to HN Pod.
We will be back tomorrow with more top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.